So when we sing that song, we don't just think, well, okay, that's for somebody that's sick. If you look that song over, that can apply to most everything in our life. I'd like to have the answer to my problem today. But for me to come to the place that I say, Lord, in your own time, in your own way. And I remember Brother Marty telling us about when they had sickness in their family so much, and people would send them cards, and he would just count the next cards going to say, Romans 8 and 28, we know that all things work together for good. Well, you know, we truly do know. We have to know. That's just a confidence that we have. This thing will also work for my good, though I won't be able to see it now, maybe. I remember when I'm going over to see Brother Earl Benson, he will say that. And, you know, his testimony is something. He doesn't have bitterness. He doesn't have, you know, the one that hit him, she walked away from the accident without any injury. And he has had this. But you know what he says is, I don't know why it happened, but I do know that God allowed it to happen. And he's working out some purpose in that. Well, you know, when I look at his, and then I look at my little troubles, and I have to think of the verse, if I run with a horseman and they wearied me, what am I going to do when I hit some big problems? I'm thankful for those that can live it and give us a testimony that in the middle of big troubles, they can still have a faith and a confidence in God. The title that I would put to this is A Controlled Environment. And what kind of brought this to my mind was I was thinking back whenever I went to, years ago, went to air conditioning school, and they started telling us about the properties of refrigerant and how it worked and all that. And my instructor, over and over and over, he would tell us, when you get into the Freon side of the system, you be very, very careful to keep contaminants out. He would tell us when you're, you can have a 3-foot hose. When you take it to hook it onto an air conditioner, it's got 3 foot of air in it. He said, you purge that out because you're wanting to keep out all contamination. And he used to say this to us many times. He would tell us, you want to keep that Freon portion of that system, hospital operating room clean. He said, you just think about how clean they want to keep a hospital operating room so there's no contamination there. He said, you think the same thing about it when you're dealing with this Freon. Don't put air in it, because air inside a system is not going to work the same as Freon does. Don't let moisture get inside it, because it's going to cause problems. Well, I would like for us to think about today the importance of us having a controlled environment. I believe that's the reason that many people have done homeschooling, is they look at the environment around us if we send our child to public schools and what is being taught. And I would like to be able to control the environment that my child learns in, and so they're able, with homeschooling, to be able to do that. I thought the same about Monarch. You know, to me, Monarch, we drive through the gate there, and I felt it before. I just feel like I just left the world on the outside of those gates. We have 10 days here of a controlled environment. Services all through the day, fellowship together with others that have a desire to live for the Lord. Got a controlled environment. Nothing to contaminate. Can the devil go on the inside of the gates at Monarch also? Sure can. And if in no other way he comes in, what he would like to do is come into the minds of people. And maybe we're not talking about sinful things, but you know, the devil can come at Monarch in a controlled environment and bring discouraging thoughts to somebody. It can happen. And I was thinking of the verse that we had. You remember where it said, over several weeks now, we've talked about Psalms 40. And in the third verse, one of the last messages was that he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to the Lord. And what I would like to do is I would like to keep a controlled environment to where I can keep that song going, not just verbally, but in, it says, a new song in my heart, even praise to the Lord. What can I do in my everyday living when I have to go out amongst the world? Is it possible that I can still have, I can be in a controlled environment for that time? We had a song in number, I'd like to look at it, number 86, song number 86. It says in the second verse, songs of victory ever shall be our heart's delight. Sing of defeat, no, never. Sing victory with all our might. We'll raise our voices higher upon the battlefield, and our victory draweth nigher when Christ shall be revealed. It says victory is going to be our chorus. Victory will be our watchword and song. Sing of defeat, no, never. I would like to have a controlled environment that I live in. And what I'm wanting to look at today is to be a, we have to go out amongst the world. You remember Jesus said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I pray that you keep them from the evils of the world. Is it possible that I can live in a controlled environment and I've got the world all around me? I'm working around other people that are saying what they want to say, talking about what they want to talk. Can I still have a controlled environment around me? I can, and I want to be able to have that. There is a song that we sing, Watch and Pray. The tempter may be near us. Keep your heart with jealous care, lest the door a moment left unguarded, evil thoughts would enter there. And I can say, evil thoughts? No, I don't have evil thoughts. Well, what about discouraging thoughts? You ever have discouraging thoughts come to you? They come to all of us. And what do we do with those? You know, sometimes we have heard the saying, we are what we eat. And what they're trying to say with that is, you know what, healthy eating will cause a person to be more healthy. Well, what I want us to think about for a little bit, is it possible we are what we think? The pattern of thinking that I allow myself to go into, is it kind of like the food I eat? If I eat junk food all the time and I'm unhealthy, can it be that the pattern of thinking can cause the same thing? I would like for us to look at a verse that I read over in Proverbs. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. It talks about, as a man thinketh in his heart, 23:6-7. Think about if this happened in real life. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink is what he's saying. Eat and drink, he saith to thee, but his heart is not with thee. I read the commentary on that. It says this man is, he's gone out and he's provided a meal for the community. Y'all come on in and eat. Because, you know, that seemed like a nice thing for a man to do. But he said, while he's feeding you, he's watching how much you're eating. And in my mind, I see him looking and saying, that pig, look, he's already eaten $5 worth of my groceries. Look at him go. Instead of, you know, his words were, welcome. Come on in. I'm taking care of the community. I want y'all to have a good time. But it says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I was thinking about that of, how can it affect us? At some point, you know what? At some point when he invited the community to come, he had a thought that was presented. Maybe he was seeing how much of his groceries were going, but there was a thought presented that he had to do something with. What would he do with that thought? And controlling the environment of my mind, you know, my thoughts, I can either reject them, or I can accept them for a little bit and reject them, or I can accept them until they become a part of who I am. So I was thinking of this, controlling the environment of my mind. Am I able to control the environment of my mind? You know what? I believe I can control the pattern of the thoughts. We can't control a thought that just presents itself, but what I can do is control it to not become a pattern if it's not healthy for me. There is a verse, it says it's an old proverb. It says, Satan delights to fish in troubled waters. And when you think about that, it said what happens is when a mind that's in turmoil and stirred up about things, it's a good place for the devil to be able to work. He loves to fish in troubled waters. A good place for him to come in and give some discouraging thoughts. And we mentioned it the other day. When David and his men came back to Ziklag, their families were there when they left. They expected their families to be there when they come home. But instead, I believe it was the Amalekites had come through, burned the city, taken all of their family captives. And you remember it said they were so discouraged that they wept till they had no more power to weep. And you know what? At that kind of a time is a, what is this? Satan delights to fish in troubled waters. In those times of a big trouble has just hit me, is a place that the devil would love to come in at that point and start giving discouraging thoughts. And did he ever do it then? You remember to the men, it seems like they would have at least stayed united with each other and saying, okay, what are we going to do about this problem of going and getting our families? But what happened? Satan loves to fish in troubled waters. What was the thought that he presented to the other men? I think we need to stone David. He's our leader, and he has allowed this thing to happen to us. Well, there's a lot of trouble, and you know what? David's got a mind that wants to churn also. What was it that David did? It said in that time when things looked so dismal, you know what? His mind could have gone and let the devil do some fishing also. But what did it say? David encouraged himself in the Lord. What he did was, here's a good opportunity for the devil to send discouraging thoughts. But I tell you what, I'm going to control the environment of my mind, and I'm not going to allow discouraging thoughts to come in. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord while these other folks are deciding, are they going to pick up a rock and put me to death right here? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Is there an opportunity for us to do this sometime? I believe it is. There can be things happen to where everyone around us seems to be discouraged. We're living in a time where there's some discouraging things happening in our world. I work in an office building. Merrill Lynch security firm is there. And as one of the workers was leaving Friday evening, she was on the elevator and she said, "This has been a terrible day." Said the stock market fell 500 points today. Well, you know what? That can cause some discouragement to come. I've told you before about with that same firm, a man that we met on the ground floor wanting to go up there to check on his retirement. Stock market falls, your retirement also falls. And he found that his had fallen. You know what? It can easily go in half in just a short amount of time. And his had. Well, that's the money he's expecting to live on until he dies. And when he found that it was gone, what happens? In just a couple of days, it was in the news that he had committed suicide. So I'm thinking for us today, can we encourage ourselves in the Lord? You know what? The Lord is going to take care of us no matter what. We sing that song, maybe 104 or something. No matter what happens, he will care for me. You know what? They can up in Washington, D.C., they can make decisions where morality seems to be going away. But you know what? We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. And I want us to be able to do that. There's a tool that we can use. I want to go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and in the 4th verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know, we see all these protests going on and getting pretty carnal. Well, this one is saying we don't have to use carnality. The weapons of ours are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here's some of these strongholds that we can have. Casting down imaginations. You know, I want to have my mind to be, I want to control the environment of my mind. You know, one of the things I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to cast down imaginations. Things that have not happened yet, but the devil would love to come in and help me to start forecasting in the future. I'll tell you what, this thing is going to happen out in the future, and it causes me distress. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. You ever tried to do that? You ever had even a discouraging thought come to you, and you try to get rid of it? Bringing into captivity every thought. You remember where David, he's in a distressing time, and he encourages himself in the Lord. He's got to get rid of some discouraging thoughts. So for us to be able to bring into captivity every thought. Sister Maxine was talking to me, and she said, you know, there's some discouraging thoughts that come to me. And you know how she fought them? She said, here's what I've started doing. Tell Satan, those are not my thoughts. That's not what I want to be thinking. Yes, it was presented to you. You know what the devil would love to do? Is present a discouraging thought to you and then tell you that's your thought. You're thinking that. But you know what the tool was for her to say, that's not my thought. You just presented that. And I'm not going to accept that thought as being mine. Don't claim them. You know what the devil would love for us to have to claim them. Yep, yeah, I'm thinking it, so it must be mine. I'm having some discouraging thoughts, and then he adds some more onto it. But instead, we don't claim them. We don't accept them. Instead, we reject them. That's not the direction that I want to go. For us to be able to control the environment, there's some things we can control. We can go to Monarch, but I still take my mind with me. And you know what? I can have discouraging thoughts at Monarch. I can be here with all of you and you be happy in the Lord. And I can have discouraging thoughts coming to me. But it's what I do with those thoughts that is important. So if we use Jesus as an example, he had something that he said that I believe will help us. Because you know what I say, I can't control the thoughts that come to me. But is it possible that I can help with what comes to me? Let's take a look at John 14. Hereafter, this is Jesus talking, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. There is nothing in me that he can claim to be his. Well, we say that was Jesus, but what about for us today? Could I live in a place that there's nothing that I have on hand that he can claim? There's nothing that's his. When it says in James 4 and 17, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So Jesus was tempted. You know what that means? The devil brought some thoughts to him. Where do we find that? It's in the 4th chapter of Matthew. And I am glad that this account is put in here, because the devil would love to come to each of us, present a thought, and then say, that's your thought right there. Jesus didn't accept them. So in the 4th chapter, it says in the 3rd verse, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. What tool did Jesus use? He had the Word of God stored away. Because look at how he came right back. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that temptation he was able to defeat with some of the Word of God. You know what I believe? A whole lot of our things that the devil would present to us, we can defeat with the Word of God. That's something that's more valuable than just my own talking to Satan, but to be able to give him the Word. Well, then look what happens on the next one. The devil taketh him to a high, to the holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And now Jesus is, or Satan is going to use some of the Word of God to give to Jesus. Because it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Have you ever had Satan give you a scripture? You know, there are scriptures that you can take one verse and use it out of context. That one was used out of context. And how did Jesus work with that one? He had another scripture to add to that. You know, and we're searching through the Word of God, and we find a verse that seems to say one thing. Let's search on through the Bible and find, because there's going to be some things that balance it all out. What did Jesus say? He came back with, it is written again. There's another verse to use along with the verse that you just brought me, Satan, that defeats that. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What about for us today? What is a tool that we can use? We heard this morning in Sunday school about the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, its value is that it helps us to control our environment. I'd like to look over in John, the promise of it, in John 14 and 26. And this is not just a one-time thing, but the Holy Spirit would like to guide us all the time. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit's job is, when I need it, he will bring it to my remembrance. What does remembrance say to you? I had that before. Maybe I forgot about it. But I remember it again. It's something that I've known in the past, and now I remember it again. I believe it's very important for me in the day and time that we're living in. I want to control the environment that my mind goes into. And can I do that? How can I do it better? Here's a place. Psalms 119 and 11. Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It is so valuable, and I think it's important for us to say it over and over often. For the young people, the verses that you learned, for the children, that the verses that you give in Sunday school, you may forget it a few weeks from now. But what we would love is someday a temptation comes to you, and thy word have I hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And on that day, the Lord brings back that verse that we used in Sunday school. Or for the older ones of us, the verse that we have read and forgotten it, but it comes back to us. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So I believe more and more it is possible for us to have that environment around us when the world is becoming more and more wicked. So Isaiah 59 tells us, here's what can happen. I believe it can happen for us today. 59 and 19, down at the last half of that verse. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know, we heard this morning in Sunday school that there's two parts to this. God has a part. He could do it all by himself, but he won't. It takes two parts. I have a little part to play. And this is a pretty valuable place here. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. All by himself with no help from me. You know what? I believe the Spirit of the Lord would like to have some help from me. As I have stored away his word in my heart, the Spirit of the Lord is able to reach back in my reservoir of verses that I have studied and bring them back to my mind again. That's why I believe it is very important for us to spend time reading the Word of God. And though we can't remember it all, tomorrow I may not be able to remember what I read today. But I believe the reading of it and trying to commit it to our memory, the Lord will be able to bring that back to us when we need it. I would like for us to sing a song together. Because you know what? The Lord has victory for us to be able to have. Even when it seems that everything is going the wrong direction for us. This is song number 196. If we could sing this song together. How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. His anchor, the promise of God's written word, to keep him by night and by day. That wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not. How firm the foundation upon which he builds, a structure to glorify God. How wondrous the power of the Savior that shields from all the vile tempter's dark flood. That wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not. A wall of salvation upon every side, strong bulwarks presents to the foe. And in every conflict, though sorely he's tried, faith's shield will ward off every blow. That wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He trusts in the Lord and obeys his command. God giveth him grace from on high to count all things joyful while boldly he stands, and Jesus his helper is nigh. That wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not. You know, this song has some promises in it. It says that wicked one toucheth him not. But you know, it also says how he's able to do that. Here's my part. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord. Who is that? That's me, controlling my environment around me. That last verse, he trusts in the Lord and obeys his commands. God giveth him grace from on high. I've got a part and God's got a part. There's something else that I'd like for us to look at for just a little bit in our thoughts, and it's meditation. This is more than just a thought comes to me and then it's gone, and a few minutes I can't even remember it again. But it's where this is more than a passing thought. It's what I dwell upon. It's what I give a lot of consideration to. You know, meditation does not always mean spiritual things. Meditation can be, I'm given more than just a passing thought to the troubles that I'm in or to the things that are happening to me. More than a passing thought about what someone has done to me. But then there's this little prayer that is prayed in Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So now I'm passing my meditations by God, and I'm saying, God, check them out. I want my meditations, the things that I give more than just a passing thought to, Lord, I'd like for you to be able to stamp your approval on that. So we have a song that says, God, my thoughts, lest they should wander to the empty dreams of earth. Let me on thy goodness ponder, yea, on things of heavenly worth. You remember the verse in Colossians 3? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Starting to control the environment of my thinking. We had a song the other day. I think maybe Brother Dennis called it song number 109. Thinking of thee, O Lord of thee. Musing. You know what musing is? You're spending some time considering about this thing. Musing on things above. Till every chord within my heart is tuned with heavenly love. That starts out alone in some secure retreat. You know, for me to come to a place where I can meditate on the Lord, I'm going to have to get into a quiet place. Maybe it's noisy all around me, but I'm going to have to get my mind in a quiet place. Alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. I'm thinking about how the world is doing and how morality is going away. No, I'm thinking, Lord, of thee. Thinking on thee, O Lord of thee, musing on things above. It is possible for us today, with so much wickedness around and the devil using so many things to present thoughts to us, that I can control the environment. And I believe God wants to help us with that. We heard this morning, I think maybe one of the young people or his children gave us, talking about the man in Psalms 1:1. It put a blessing on that man, and it didn't give a name, because I think this could be given to anybody that does what he did. In the very first verse of Psalms 1, blessed is the man. Here's two parts again. God's going to do a part if man will do his part. Here's what man is deciding to do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what? Right now we've got a lot of ungodly counsel coming on in the world around us, saying evil is now good and good is now evil. This man, he wasn't able to change all that. He wasn't able to write what was happening all over the world. But what he did do was he didn't walk in the counsel of that. He did not stand in the way of sinners. He did not sit in the seat of the scornful. But here's what he did do. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Just read a verse and forgot it before I left. No, in his law he meditates day and night. That's what is able to help us to have a controlled environment in a time where the environment can be terrible and can come in on my mind, but we can have it controlled, and I am thankful for that. In his law, he meditates day and night. Then there's going to be something that comes from it. He's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, we're living in a dry time around us just naturally with no rain. But you know what, there was talking in other places, it talked about a man could be, when everything is dry around him, it's like this tree has got a taproot that goes over into a river that's flowing, and its leaves are green when everything else is drying up. It's possible for us all to have that same thing. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have the Lord's help. This cannot be done by myself, or I would come out on the other side and say I was able to do it. But what I can do is go to the Lord and say, I've got a picture of this. My mind can go into so many discouraging things that can take me in so many places. And I'm going to tell you, I've had to do something for myself. Maybe it does not affect you at all, but I have been plagued with following the news. And you know what it did? It presented thoughts. You can wake up in the morning thinking about it. And it can be, I'm on the right side of all those thoughts that come to me. It's wicked people making bad decisions and making bad laws, and I'm thinking about it through the night and how terrible it is, and I wake up tomorrow morning thinking about it, and my peace leaves me. And so at Monarch, I said, Lord, I tell you, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you follow the news, but what you want to do is when you finish with the news, take a look and see if you can control your environment of your mind, or do those things continue to play? Because I found out for myself, they continued to stay in my thoughts, and it did not help me. And so I shut it down, and I said, okay, Lord, I just want to stop it for a while. And I did for several weeks. And one day I thought, well, okay, I'll just take a look and see what's happening. You know, just like Friday, stock market fell. Come on, what's causing all that? You know, I found out something. My reading the news is not going to change. They're not going to ask me, Dan, what can we do to change the stock market? No, it's going to be what it is. I'm going to just worry about it. It's what it's going to be. So one day I said, okay, I've been without it now for a month or so. I think I'll just check. Well, you know what? I found out it's still the same as it was back before when I had looked at it. Discouraging news all around me. And I said, whoops, let me shut this thing back down again. Because if the world's fixing to come to an end, something big's fixing to happen, somebody's going to tell me at work before it crashes. And so I get to enjoy all those days that they're worrying about it. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's getting worse. And all of a sudden, the bang, and they just tell me just for the bang, and I only have a short time there to be worried about it. You know what the Lord would like for us today? To be like that man in Psalms 1 and 1. All these troubles around us, and he decides, I'm not going to take these things. Here's what I am going to do that's going to profit me. In his law, he meditates day and night, and some things will happen for him. A controlled environment will have me to where I'll read Genesis 1, and I see where God just spoke and things come into existence. You know what? There's a lot of people that their minds are troubled about some things. You know, we have the Big Bang to try to explain. We have evolution. The things that leave God out, evolution, our global warming. You know what? About the time we talk global warming and this morning, a cool breeze comes from the north, and God is in control of all things. You know what? If our land stays dry for another month, we'll just keep on calling on God. We would like for you to change it. But realizing, you know what? God caused there to be a drought before for a reason, and God's in control of all of it. So for us to realize, you know what, in the beginning it was God, in the end of it all, it will still be God. So if I will start storing away the Word of God in my heart to where the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against the troubling thoughts that want to come to me, and what he's going to do with it a lot of times is he'll bring a scripture that I read sometime before, bring it back to me. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. It's a promise from God Almighty. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How's he going to do it? Whose mind is stayed on thee. So I find, you know what? I've lost my peace. Where's my mind? Lord, help me. Philippians 4 and 8 gives us some instruction on some things to think about. And it also says that there is some great value to it. The 7th verse, before he ever gave us the description of them, he said, The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep the very subject that we're talking about. It says he will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, Brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. When I am thinking on those things, I am controlling the environment of my mind. There was one last place I'd like for us to think about. In Genesis 15 and in the 9th verse, Abraham had prepared a sacrifice for the Lord. The Lord did not take it right then. Some time passed, and Abraham had to do something. It says in the 11th verse of the 15th chapter of Genesis, says, when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. You know what he could have said? Well, if the Lord wanted it, he should have come down when I first cut it up. No, I'm going to protect this until the Lord does accept the sacrifice. When the fowls came upon it, Abraham drove them away. You know what I think about that in our minds? I've got a desire to live for the Lord. I've got a desire. What does it say about a sacrifice? 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what? I'm going to have to drive away the thoughts that the devil would like to present to me if I'm going to have a sacrifice that God will be able to accept. We're going to have to drive those things away that Satan would like to plant. And you know what he would love to do? He has succeeded if he can plant it in my mind and then say, you were the one that thought it, and I accept that. But we can have an environment of my mind that's acceptable to God. And I want to be able to have that. It's more valuable today, I believe, than, you know, there was a time when people all around us, even unsaved people, were, they had a respect for religion. They had a respect for God. A lot of that's gone today. So it's very valuable for me to be able to protect the environment of my mind. I'd like for us in closing to sing number 82. The title of it is On to Victory. And the victory I want us to think about as we're singing this is victory in our minds, victory in my mind and the thought process that I have. It says, Christian, gird the armor on. There's a victory to be won. For the Lord, for the Lord. Take the helmet, the sword, and the shield forth into the battlefield at his word, at his word. On we'll march to victory. Victory in my mind will be a great victory for us. I desire your prayers.